fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, people are sick of running backs, yet people are still willing to take four or five of them in the first round. It's a frustrating, confusing, exhilarating, and extremely important position. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Today is part one of our running backs preview. Here we go. Guys, how are you feeling about the running backs this year on the whole, the position on the whole?
Excited.
It's a new year, of course. Excited.
Better than last year.
Better than last year?
Almost.
I mean, how could it be worse?
Well,
better than last year at this time of year?
No, that's what I better than how last year ended.
Oh, yeah. Last year was a terrible year for running backs. Will there be an overreaction? We have some news and notes from around football to get to as well, but I want to start with some multiple choice questions. A little quiz for you. Which running back led the NFL in carries of 20 or more yards? Was it A, Adrian Peterson, B, Devontae Freeman, C, Doug Martin, or D, Todd Gurley?
I'll say Doug Martin.
Okay. Jamie Dave?
I'll say Gurley.
I'll say Adrian Peterson, just to be different.
Score one for Heath Cummings. Doug Martin.
Yeah!
How about that? Polarizing player this year. Okay. Heath, you're up 1-0. Which running back led the NFL in red zone carries while also finishing fifth in carries inside the 5-yard line? Which is a cool stat on Pro Football Reference. So red zone carries leader, was it Adrian Peterson, Devontae Freeman, Doug Martin, or Todd Gurley?
I'm going to go with Devontae Freeman this time. I think you're right.
I think you're right, too. I'll say Peterson to be different.
Dave?
I'm not losing points. Freeman.
You are right. It is Devontae Freeman. He scored a ton of short yardage touchdowns. It had 47 red zone carries, so how about that? And finally, true or false? In C.J. Anderson's last 9 games, and you have to pay attention to this one.
Of course there's a C.J. Anderson twist to this. Where's the Michael Floyd running back question?
In C.J. Anderson's last 9 games, true or false, he averaged more than double the yards per carry that Todd Gurley averaged in his last 8 games.
I can only assume it's true because it's C.J. Anderson.
Yeah. No way it's false.
It's false. It's not quite that much. He averaged 6.4 yards per carry, C.J. Anderson, in his last 9 games. Gurley averaged 3.93 yards per carry, so not quite double, but how about that? C.J. Anderson clearly better than Todd Gurley, right?
Of course.
What?
Okay. Well, that was your pop quiz for running backs. Now, yesterday we told you about the fantasy experts quiz on sportsgrid.com, and we never shared the story of Jamie. You want to go ahead and tell this story, Jamie? This is a great quiz put together by Nando DeFino on sportsgrid.com. You can find out, you answer a series of questions. Which fantasy expert are you? Jamie, what happened?
So as I was, helping my wife put our kids to bed, I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, so they're a little crazy at nighttime. I picked up my cell phone and I saw the tweet or something in regard to, this contest or whatever you call it. And so I just asked my wife the question to see who she would end up with matching the fantasy expert. And so she completely butchered it. I said there was an RG3 question. She said, oh, I've heard you talk about him before. So she picked RG3. I think the answer was Tony Romo for me at least. So at the end of the question, it tells you which fantasy expert you most resemble, right?
That's
the,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So she ended up with Adam Azer. So she felt horrified, not because it was you, just because it wasn't me. So then she took it again later by herself, and she ended up with one of our former colleagues here, Eric Mack.
No way. So, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, it was so funny. She was so mortified, and I told her I was going to tell it on the air, and she was like, no, please don't.
She's going to
keep taking that questionnaire until she gets you.
And then just since that happened, well, Adam, you'll have to say who your fiance ended up with, but Will Brinson took the test and he ended up as me also. So he wasn't happy about that.
No, she hasn't taken it yet. I will get her to take it. All right, guys, let's do the news and notes real quick and then we'll dive into running backs, do the ADP review, sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Whatever we don't get to today, we will get to tomorrow. But Mark Sanchez is going to start at quarterback on Thursday against the Bears. It's not a big surprise. Some running back news. I'm going to read three things here, really two, and you guys can react after. Thomas Rawls is going to be brought along slowly. Remember, he broke his ankle, had some ligament damage last year, so they'll bring him along slowly. Meanwhile, in the Dolphins' backfield, Kenyon Drake, injury-prone guy, nursing a hamstring injury, and Arian Foster is not going to play in preseason week one, and that is why Jay Ajayi was listed as the starter. Do you guys have anything to say about those two situations?
What's to say that hasn't been said already?
Fair enough.
I think with Rawls, we're still kind of treating him as a guy that is a good number two fantasy running back, potential to be a number one fantasy running back. And I think, I don't know how you feel about the late round three price tag guys. I think I'm okay with it, but really I look at him as a running back that I'll settle for rather than a running back that I'm trying to get.
I'll take him early round three.
Early, so like 25th to 30th overall, somewhere
like 27.
Okay. And then the Dolphins running backs, you should know what to do. You shouldn't reach for Arian Foster. If you find Foster in round 7, the goal should be to get Jay Ajayi to pair with him in round 8. That's about it.
Okay. And Thomas Rawls, 6 games with 16 or more carries last year and double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 5 of those 6. For the year, he averaged 5.6 yards per carry. He had some monster games at Cincinnati, against the Niners, against Minnesota. He had 123 total yards and a touchdown. Some really great games, but yeah, there's some injury concerns there for sure. Wide receiver news, Julian Edelman returned to practice. That's great. Marvin Jones. Well, you know what? Let's stay on Julian Edelman real quick, guys, as we were a little worried yesterday. Heath, what's your reaction to him returning to practice?
He's right back where he was before he left practice. If he comes back the very next day, then I feel pretty confident that it wasn't anything to be concerned with at all. So no change from 2 days ago for Julian Edelman.
So congratulations to all of you who drafted on August 9th and got Julian Edelman as a bargain. Hooray.
Exactly. Now, other wide receivers, so some who are getting some praise right now, MLive.com. wrote a glowing story about Marvin Jones being the best wide receiver on the Lions right now, and it's not even particularly close. Meanwhile, Will Fuller, according to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, is having a good camp, a very good camp for the Houston Texans, the rookie wide receiver there. And Marvin Lewis praised Tyler Boyd, rookie wide receiver there. Marvin Jones, Will Fuller, Tyler Boyd, any big movers here for you?
I mean, the only one that matters is Marvin Jones. You know, you're talking about Fuller and Boyd, late round flyers in deep leagues. Nobody's drafting them in most 15 round drafts unless you're in the like a crazy situation like the draft I was in over the weekend where receivers just went flying off the board. But I mean, look, you got to be more excited about Marvin Jones, especially, you know, I know Dave joked about drafting at this point, but if you have drafted already, he's been sinking, you know, in a lot of ways.
Because he's been unexciting and he's been under the radar.
Sure. But this is a receiving core that's going through a pretty dynamic change. You know, new system for the most part because of what Jim Bob Cooter and the team has said, that they basically have revamped the offense from where they picked up even when he took over last year. And obviously no Calvin Johnson. And so it kind of makes sense when you take a step back from it that Marvin Jones just kind of slides into the natural number one spot and you leave Golden Tate alone. You know, it's just a matter of where the target's going to go. And I think it's if you want a comparison, it's the Dolphins with Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker, because I think a lot of people are kind of anointing Devontae Parker as the best receiver there. But Jarvis Landry's a similar situation to Marvin Jones. He's just soaking up every pass in practice. Mm-hmm. There was a report the other day that they're telling Ryan Tannehill, don't throw it to Jarvis Landry. We have to move other guys and get them involved. And he threw 17 passes in practice to Jarvis Landry in a scrimmage because he can't get away from Jarvis Landry.
So Ryan Tannehill's not coachable.
Shocking. So I think it's just one of those things that, you know, they're in some cases could be a natural rapport that you can't break, like Tannehill and Landry. And in some cases, there could be a rapport that's developing because of circumstance with Stafford and Jones.
There is another mover to talk about here, and it's Golden Tate. And it sure seems like, well, but do you? And the reason why I say that is because I think the expectation has to change, because the thought was, well, he'll be the new number one receiver. And now with this report, it makes it sound like Golden Tate hasn't had a good camp. Maybe he hasn't improved the way that the Lions coaches have wanted him to. And now he'll end up doing what he did last year. Same exact role, which means a lot of targets and a lot of catches, but right. It also means numbers like he had last year.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that Dave and I were talking about this morning as far as these two Lions wide receivers is I felt like Tate was probably being overdrafted and Jones was probably a good value. And then I went and looked at their ADP and they're being drafted about where I have them ranked. Tate is a borderline wide receiver two, wide receiver three. And Jones, just outside of the wide receiver three, I would say that Jones is the one that needs to move the most here. He probably needs to go up into the wide receiver 35 range. One I really have a difficult time with is Marvin Jones or Josh Gordon now.
Not for me.
Yeah, it's Jones.
It's Jones. Yeah. You hear a report like this, and I can't wait to see them play against Pittsburgh in the preseason. I can't wait to see how Jones is used and whether or not Tate is used in, you know, that short area role where he's going to be expected to make plays after the catch. The one thing about Tate is I think there's still reason for optimism with him. I don't know if I love the idea of drafting him. I definitely can't draft him where I have him in my rankings. And I've got to move him down. To me, he's more on the number three receiver side than the number two receiver side based on this. But there's still going to be opportunities for him. And I think he's still a candidate for 1,007.
We'd expect Tate's going to have more receptions. Tate's going to have more yards. Jones might have more touchdowns.
I think he's a candidate still for 100 receptions, unless that Stafford-Jones connection, you know, Jamie, you're talking about that chemistry, unless it's off the charts. In which case, then, yeah, we're all underdrafting Marvin Jones, and he's become a big target to lock on to.
Okay, and Victor Cruz has groin tightness and probably won't play preseason week one on Friday. That didn't take very long, did it, Victor Cruz?
He says it's minor, but yeah, it's still Victor Cruz.
Now, other news, non-offensive news, Rob Ninkovich, New England defensive end, tore his triceps. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. They're already obviously without Chandler Jones. They traded him, so now no Ninkovich, and they play at Arizona in week one. This is the first time, I'm going to say, the first time I've probably ever said this in the Tom Brady era, New England has no chance winning this game at Arizona.
But is this the Tom Brady era, if he's suspended?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. They have no chance.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're getting killed. They're going to lose by double digits.
I agree.
Okay. Lane Johnson.
It took Rob Ninkovich getting hurt for you to say that?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. He's a very good player. I thought they were going to lose anyway.
Well, look, he's probably not going to play week one, but the timetable could get him back for week one.
Could. Lane Johnson denying a Fox Sports report that he's fighting a 10-game suspension for PEDs. If Philadelphia's tackle Lane Johnson is out 10 games, what does that do for you guys?
Makes me not like the Eagles even more.
Yeah. And some defensive injuries for the Bills. There are two rookies, first-round pick and second-round pick, Shaq Lawson. He in the first round, he could miss half the season with a shoulder injury, and second-round pick Reggie Ragland will miss all of the season with an ACL tear. And Hard Knocks is back, and Dion Long is out. Now, I did not watch it. Did you guys watch Hard Knocks last night?
Yeah.
All right, what happened here?
Jeff Fisher has a rule that no women in the dorm room. And they caught Dion Long apparently with a woman in the room. They obviously did not show that, but they showed Jeff Fisher talking to Dion Long. He gave him a chance to say his side of the story, which didn't matter 1 second to Jeff Fisher, who said, "We got to cut you." Yeah. So Dion's excuse was that he had somebody there just dropping off stuff and left before curfew. And then Fisher, which was the best part of the show. It wasn't a very exciting show. But the best part was then Fisher went to the team and said, "I'm not standing for any of this 7 and 9, 8 and 8 BS anymore." And we had some 7 and 9 BS this morning, so we took care of it.
Yeah.
You know where they're going to finish, right?
7 and 9.
Yeah. I was thinking 6 and 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's from a football perspective, Todd Gurley is going to get a lot of people excited when you see it because he's running through that defense. He's talking trash to Aaron Donald. He's certainly, as you expect, the focal point of the show and rightfully so. Aaron Donald is going to make a lot of people excited because that guy's a beast. But it's, you know, there's a lot of focus on Jared Goff and, you know, he had some good moments, but it's certainly a series worth following.
The only thing that I saw was a, video short clip on Twitter and they cut Nick Foles by phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They cut Nick Foles by phone.
Well, he wanted to be cut.
It was kind of a funny conversation because it started off like, "Hey buddy, how you going? We're going to cut you."
Sometimes it's like that.
So we got to get moving here. We got to get to the running backs. Tyler Higbee, Rams rookie tight end, getting good reviews. We'll talk about him later on in the week. What is your overall running back strategy, guys?
What is everyone else in the league doing?
Really? You're going to base it on what everybody else is doing?
Of course I am.
They didn't tell me what they're doing.
Right. What if you're drafting with people you don't know?
Well, what I'm saying is some of our drafts, our first round has been very wide receiver heavy. Mm-hmm. And in those, I've ended up with two running backs in the first two rounds.
Sure.
But in drafts that weren't necessarily at CBS Sports that have been more balanced, there's a lot of running backs in that 25 to 35 range that I'm really starting to get excited about.
Yeah, me too.
I'm more interested in getting as many running backs as I can on my roster. Nothing new for everybody who's been listening a long time. It's just something that I do. I like the idea of getting one running back with my first three picks, trying to go running back, receiver, receiver, or some combination. But I won't pass up a good value at running back if one falls to me in rounds 1, 2, or 3. I've done a couple of mock drafts where I've ended up with three running backs with my first three picks. My receivers aren't great, but my running backs are definitely solid, and I'm not running away from running backs just because last year was bad. In fact, when it comes to those elite ones, the guys that we're counting on for big numbers, I'm gravitating toward them because when a running back has a great year, they put up more fantasy points than a wide receiver, and everybody's got to start them. And if they're difference makers at their position, like Rob Gronkowski is a difference maker at his position, I want those guys on my team.
Well, you mentioned running backs, when they have big years, put up bigger numbers than wide receivers, but obviously that's in standard scoring leagues. So let's talk about how your strategy changes based on format. PPR, half point PPR, three wide receiver leagues. Talk to me about that, guys.
Well, a lot of those guys that I really like in the 25 to 35 range are pass catching backs. So I'm probably more likely to just go receiver, receiver, or at least make sure I get one receiver in the first two rounds. Because it seems like there's more guys this year, the Charles Sims, Duke Johnson, Danny Woodhead, that range, of guys that I really feel pretty confident are going to be top 30 running backs in PPR, even though they're not maybe the feature back.
PPR changes the game so much, and if you need receivers, it changes the game so much. You have to be aware of it. I still keep an eye out for running backs, but to me, the focus changes quite a bit. And you can still do the strategy where you take a running back in round one, but then the pressure's really on to get receivers in rounds 2 and 3.
Yeah, now a lot of people play in three receiver leagues, and some people play in three receiver PPR leagues. And like Jamie, you just did that, right? And so running backs, obviously, we talked about that on Monday. They went really, really late, and you can get great value there. It's a tough call, you know, in a PPR league. Let's just say a PPR league with two receivers and a flex. And you're in the first round, and you have to choose between, let's say, the fifth wide receiver off the board. Maybe that's A.J. Green. And according to ADP, it's Dez Bryant, then A.J. Green on Fantasy Pros. And let's say Ezekiel Elliott or Lamar Miller or somebody like that. How do you guys go about making that call? What do you do in those situations?
I don't hesitate, and I take the receiver.
Which running back would have to be on the board for you to take him over A.J. Green or Dez Bryant, one of your top five or six wide receivers?
In PPR?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm taking those receivers early. So it's Green for me is fourth. Hopkins is five. At six is where I would consider David Johnson.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in?
No, I'd go a little sooner on David Johnson. I believe I have him fourth or fifth among my top 200 in PPR. But I mean, as a running back fan, even I'll say that you've got to get those stud receivers early in a PPR if you've got one of those first few picks or if they slip to you.
And I think the big dilemma is safety versus upside, not necessarily that, but uncertainty with running backs, right? So David Johnson. Taking him over Dez Bryant, maybe, you know, he's coming off foot injury, bad example, but taking him over A.J. Green, right? Consistent guy, you pretty much know what to expect. Jamie thinks he's going to have a huge year, but very consistent player. And David Johnson, he's had one season so far, and there's Chris Johnson reports, and we just don't know. You know, that's the issue with running backs, and they're very volatile. It's a very volatile position. I am a little surprised that even now, five running backs are going in the first 12 picks. According to average draft position on Fantasy Pros. And those are Todd Gurley going third overall, Adrian Peterson, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott going 5th, 6th, and 7th, and Le'Veon Bell going 10th overall. Maybe that's going to drop. But you guys know what I'm saying here. It's a tough thing to do to figure out who's safe at running back. It's kind of like an oxymoron, a safe running back.
I think it's people that are, you know, stuck to doing what they've been doing, you know, and sticking to kind of Dave's philosophy. If you can find those elite level running backs, you're going to try and, you know, hope you lock up one of those guys. And then you're seeing what happened to a lot of people last year, which is not just necessarily that the guys who you drafted early fell apart, because that happened more so than you'll see. You're not going to see Lacy and Hill, or guys like Lacy and Hill and Anderson, you know, three guys that were all pegged to be first 15, and even DeMarco Murray, you know, four guys that were pegged to be 15, top 15 overall players, just completely be terrible. And then you have Jamaal Charles and Marshawn Lynch get hurt and miss a good portion of the season. That's not going to happen again. The difference is, I think, is people realizing, which is what I think a lot of people are telling them to, at least, you know, the way I view it, is you can get C.J. Anderson and Jeremy Hill and those guys, Adam, you talked about this with the bounce back type of guys, the all bus team that you're targeting. Those guys are still going to get prominent work. And even Eddie Lacy going to get prominent work and have the chance to be very good again. But also it's seeing that with all these teams going with these, not necessarily tandems or committees, because we've seen that for years, but it's, the, you know, if the first guy stinks, the second guy is getting, I think, a little bit more of an opportunity and running with it. So it could be a DeAndre Washington or Kenneth Dixon or maybe a Paul Perkins or some of these younger guys that were drafted in situations where they could be good, if not great, like we saw from David Johnson and Thomas Rawls last year.
And you could find those guys later on in your draft.
Right, which is what a lot of people are doing.
It's definitely a strategy to do. I'll counter it by saying that, you know, there are very few elite receivers that you look at and you go, okay, they're superstars. There's not a lot of those guys. There might be seven when it's all said and done. But that doesn't mean there's only seven great wide receivers. And the counter to that that I would say is that if you want to try and hit a home run with your running back, say in round one, you can come back in round two and round three, and there's still wide receivers left that you can take and feel good about starting. Are they going to be as good as Antonio Brown? No. But there's still players that can get the job. It's players like Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Brandon Marshall, who's been steady for so long, T.Y. Hilton, but Sammy Watkins.
But you know what, though? I think it's the next group, because you're comparing those.
I'm getting one of those guys in round two, right, and potentially another one in round three.
But I think it's more the guys that are in the third round. It's the Randall Cobbs, the Kelvin Benjamins, the Demaryius Thomas, T.Y. Hilton to a certain extent, because he's falling now into that group, and Sammy Watkins. And do you feel more comfortable with those guys as your number two wide receiver, or in some cases your number one, if you didn't take one of those guys or two of those guys in the first couple rounds?
I mean, I'll get
And the comparison would be, who has more, like we talked about the other day, who has more upside? Those receivers versus taking those running backs in the first round and then missing out on those elite level receivers. That's, I think, where the debate is that people are having.
Sure. And then that means that you probably shouldn't take two running backs with your first two picks.
Yeah. Well, that's a good call.
I'm thinking PPR.
I think standard or PPR.
You wouldn't do it.
Take two running backs with my first two picks? I mean, not if I'm picking early. I'm not going to take the chance of missing out on Brown, Beckham, or Julio. There's no chance.
Let's say you have like the seventh pick and you can take David Johnson in round one and Lamar Miller falls to you in round two. Are you cool with that?
Yep, absolutely. It's more like I'm almost flipped from how I used to be, where it's I'm taking receivers at the back end of the first round, no question about it. Now I'm more inclined to take running backs at the back end of the first round, because I'm not missing out on those three receivers if I'm picking early. There's no chance. I don't care how good Todd Gurley can be. I know what I can get from those three receivers, and they're going to be just as good, if not better.
Heath, could you see a scenario where you take two running backs in the first two picks?
It's happened numerous times already this year, so yeah. And I agree with Jamie. It has happened more often when I'm at the end of the first round, because you'll see six, seven wide receivers taken in those first 8 or 9, 10 picks. And then you've got an opportunity to get David Johnson and Jamaal Charles, or David Johnson and Doug Martin.
It really
Doug
comes Martin down to that second running back.
Yeah.
If you ask me. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about if somehow AP slips to round two, which really doesn't happen that often. But Lamar Miller has, Jamaal Charles has. In a couple of leagues, you'll see Ezekiel Elliott slipping around too. We don't see it very often in our drafts.
I'm pretty happy when Doug Martin does.
Oh, okay. Le'Veon Bell
does. When he does, he's in the second round.
Yeah.
It's when he's in the third round you should be excited.
Right, exactly.
He's never in the third round.
Oh, yes, he has
been.
Yes,
he is.
Well, that's ridiculous.
He's going 19th overall or 20th overall, so he could
slip
in the
PPR leagues. I've seen him in the third round. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I want to transition to sleepers, breakouts, and busts, and here's my concern with Doug Martin. Obviously, he's had an inconsistent career. Two very good years, two pretty bad years. But his early season schedule is pretty tough, and he's got a pretty good number two running back behind him. Looking at the early season schedule, at Atlanta, at Arizona, home against the Rams, that cross-country trip for them, then Denver, at Carolina, and a bye. It's not five really tough matchups, but it could be three or four, and I just worry that if he's bad going into the bye week, that they start getting Charles Sims more involved, because Sims appears to be a pretty good player himself.
He is a pretty good player.
Well, he's a pass catcher.
He's not, he doesn't run the ball like Doug Martin.
Well, their yards per carry is pretty close.
Yeah. Right. I think that's a product of Sims running the ball more on pass downs.
Fair.
I think Doug Martin led all players with at least 180 carries and yards per carry and led the NFL in broken tackles last year. He's an elite running back. If he stays healthy.
When he's right. Yeah. I don't even think it's healthy. I think it's when he's motivated.
Okay.
And last year he came in the best shape of his career. He's talked about that. He clearly was looking to get paid. He got paid. The nice thing is that the team around him is the same. You know, he hasn't had that much consistency from a coaching standpoint, offense coordinator, all those things. So, Jameis, when I talked to Jameis offseason, you know, that was right when they signed Doug Martin. He was, you know, he said, we made the effort to bring Doug Martin back. He made phone calls himself.
And the guy that's the head coach now is the guy that fought for him last year to keep,
Absolutely.
Cutter liked him as much as anybody.
But they also do like Charles Sims. And I think to Adam's point, they're not going to get away from Doug Martin. But if they're in situations where they're throwing the ball, Doug Martin is not as good as a pass catcher as Charles Sims. I mean, that's pretty clear why, you know, Dirk Cutter has said, we're keeping the guys in the same roles. You may see a little bit of an increase one way or the other, but that's what Charles Sims does. And so it takes away a little bit from Martin if he doesn't have the success running the ball, because he's not that dual threat guy that you're seeing at the top of the best of the best. He's good. And he's a great running back, but he's not a great dual threat running back.
Yeah. And he was a high volume guy. I mean, when Doug Martin didn't get 20 carries, he usually didn't do very well. When he didn't get 18 carries, he did pretty poorly, in standard scoring leagues. For example, in 10 games with less than 20 carries, he only had 2 touchdowns and 4 games with double-digit fantasy points in those standard scoring leagues. All right, so that's enough for now on Doug Martin. I know Heath likes him quite a bit. Dave and Jamie probably a little bit more hesitant. Let's talk sleepers, breakouts, busts. Heath, you can start. Give me a sleeper.
I always struggle with sleeper versus breakouts, but let's go way down the list for a sleeper. This guy is asleep. Nobody wants him on their team. Let's go with LeGarrette Blount. Because and I get it. I've written in the past about how I don't ever want to count on what the Patriots are going to do with their running backs. But there's still a pretty decent chance LeGarrette Blount's the running back scoring the touchdowns for the New England Patriots, I think. And if he's healthy, if he's right, and this offense gets running in the middle of the season, you could see a situation where, yeah, maybe he's not getting a huge workload, but he's still scoring a lot of touchdowns.
He's just somebody that no one feels excited about drafting.
No, which is why he's asleep. He's a sleeper.
Okay.
And listen, for the value of when you're drafting him, I guess there's no harm. It's kind of the same thing that I look at with Isaiah Crowell, who apparently is having a very good camp in Cleveland. There's been a lot of positive press. You know, he did something really stupid in social media right before training camp started. And I think the reaction to that and him realizing that he did something stupid and the fact that it didn't cost him his career or anything like that, I think it changed him a little bit. And it feels like he's a little more motivated. And he's been playing well. I think he's feeding off of what's happened since. And it's just another running back that you can look at who, listen, comparing Cleveland's touchdown opportunities to New England's touchdown opportunities really isn't that great. But he is somebody very late in a draft that you could look at and say, okay, it's a decent value here to be my fourth running back or even fifth running back. And you can take him in the back half of your draft. I'm not saying he's going to have 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm just saying he's somebody that you can go after.
Right.
Late. Very late.
Sure. So we've gotten Crowell. We've gotten LeGarrette Blount. Jamie, you have a sleeper in that end pretty deep.
Jerick McKinnon. I'm nervous about Peterson, you know, with, career numbers in terms of workload, age. I'll take a chance on McKinnon every chance I possibly get. Just in case, because that guy is an athletic freak. He could be the best running. He could be David Johnson. He could be the best running back in the NFL this year, if something happens to Peterson.
The thing
that I'll have no problem stashing him for a few weeks. If I have to move on at some point, I'll move on. and then I'll probably regret it because that's when Peterson will get hurt.
And the thing that you're doing is you're taking him whether you get Adrian Peterson or not. And frankly, I don't know if you're drafting Peterson. I have not drafted Adrian Peterson once
because the price tag for me is the worst thing about him. If he falls in drafts, like you said, he's not going to fall around two. But if he falls past pick eight, then sure, I'll take him. But if he's going where he's going, which is in the top five, there is no way I will take him at all, and I will certainly continue to gravitate toward Jerry McKinnon.
And the thing that I'm doing, I am taking Adrian Peterson fairly high, especially in non-PPR, and I definitely feel like I have to get McKinnon on my bench. Don't know if I really love the round eight pick that I have to spend on him, but it's better than what you'd have to spend for other backups on other teams.
So is Adrian Peterson a bust candidate for you, Jamie?
Yes, just based on ADP alone.
He's just not showing any signs of slowing down, though.
Well, of course not. Look, I know the risk I'm taking by saying that, but I just have seen it time and time again that when these guys get older, when they have all this work behind them, they tend to suffer. It could be, you know, 3-4 game stretch. We saw it from Forte last year. He missed 3 games. You could see it from Marshawn Lynch as he got older. This just happens. And so I hope it doesn't. I mean, clearly he's been arguably the best fantasy running back maybe of all time. You know, you could put him in that category, but the great ones, they tend to, you know, suffer at some point. And maybe this is the year he suffers.
I know what you're saying. And Father Time is undefeated and all that, but I can't bet against this guy. I know what he's done, what he's come back from, physically, and how he seems to be like a cyborg back there. I think he's got another very good year left in him. So I feel better about AP than Jamie does, but it's also with the caveat that you got to go and get McKinnon. I don't look at him as a bust.
As someone that did bet against him last year, it's not fun.
Yeah, and he's actually older than Marshawn Lynch, so yeah, he's due to struggle, but double-digit touchdowns every season of his career for Adrian Peterson, and you know that they love to feature him. Heath, how about a bust for you?
I'll go with Jeremy Langford. I'm surprised he's still being drafted amongst the top 24 running backs with all the reports we've gotten about the committee in Chicago. I don't see a huge upside for Langford in that offense, and I think that the floor is just absolute rock bottom. Because I think there's a pretty good chance that even if Jeremy Langford's getting a majority of the carries, it's like 60%, and he's not getting the goal line work.
Dave, bust for you.
I feel like saying Matt Forte is kind of obvious at this point because he's another player that's had a ton of work. He just changed teams. He's barely practicing with the Jets at this point, and I don't think there's any chance he gets the workload that he had in his years with Chicago. I'll say him, but I also want to say Ryan Matthews. I don't buy him as somebody who's going to step up and be all of a sudden a great fantasy option for a long period of time. Came into training camp banged up, has just now started to get back into practice. I can't stand the Eagles' schedule this year. They got a raw deal. You combine that with a quarterback situation that's messy and other running backs that have apparently been looking good. When Smallwood was healthy, he was looking good. Sproles has played well. He's not going to get every single carry. I wouldn't want to rely on Ryan Matthews as a starter on my fantasy team.
How about some breakouts, guys? You know, I've been talking so much about C.J. Anderson throughout the offseason and throughout, you know, now that training camps have started, and I just love it. I mean, over 6 yards per carry in his last 9 games. The only thing is he just didn't get carries, but I think that's going to change this year. C.J. Anderson gets the work. They run the ball very well in Denver under Gary Kubiak. C.J. Anderson will be a early second-round pick in 2017 because he's going to have such a good 2016. Buy or sell?
Sell. We're already looking at 2017 drafts.
Mm-hmm.
If he has the year that you're having, he's going to be a first-round pick in 2017.
Well, no, the reason why he won't is because Doug Martin's not a first-round pick this year, because people understand the inconsistency. But I'm just – all right, buy or sell, he's going to have a big bounce-back year, C.J. Anderson.
Bye.
Bye, Jamie.
I think he's going to be good. He's a top 15 fantasy running back. It's a little bit by default, but everything's setting up for him to be definitely the engine of the Denver offense. Combined with their defense being tough, it's going to lead to a lot of opportunities. There's going to be a lot of workload being spread around, too. I think Devontae Booker's going to get in there some. But Anderson will be the lead dog. He could certainly break out and have his best year ever.
I'm really hedging on C.J. Anderson because I do see the upside you're talking about, Adam, but I also think there's a chance that the offense just isn't near as good, and Booker takes a lot of the work in the passing game. And so
he's got to earn that, though. Yeah, that's the thing. Does. As a rookie, he's really got to earn that.
That's true.
what's the price tag on Devontae Booker? If you draft C.J. Anderson, that's a pick in round three at this point.
See, I don't know, though.
If you want him, I think C.J. Anderson's a round three pick, and then you can go and Booker round eight, maybe round nine. You can get him.
His average draft position is 144.
Right. So
I don't buy that, though.
I don't either.
Know what they're doing are taking Booker way earlier than that.
Yeah, I think let's call it round nine on Booker. To lock up the Broncos backfield for a round three and a round nine price, I don't know if that's something you can fight with. I think that's pretty good.
The only thing I worry about with Booker is if C.J. Anderson goes down, is Booker getting all of his workload or is he sharing it with Ronnie Hillman?
Is Ronnie Hillman on the team?
I don't know.
There's somebody on this podcast that doesn't think Ronnie Hillman's going to make the team.
Well, bold prediction, he gets cut, signed by the Redskins, and takes over for Matt Jones, but that's just, you know, kind of a goofy prediction. But, and, I mean, that is, I do think that as much as I like C.J. Anderson, I definitely want to get Booker on my team, and a round nine pick isn't really that bad. How about your breakouts? Jamie, we'll start with you.
I think this is the year Carlos Hyde puts it all together. And
really?
Yeah. I mean, he's healthy. You know, he lost weight, which is always a big thing for me when you see these running backs slimming down. Foot seems to be fine. You haven't heard a peep about it in terms of anything being wrong. There's not a lot of competition for touches behind him. You know, Sean Drone could be the guy that plays on passing downs, but I don't think Sean Drone is going to be the guy getting the carries on first and second down and catching the ball or working at the goal line, excuse me. So the schedule's tough. The team around him is not very good, but Chip Kelly's found a way to get good production out of his running backs. And I think where you're getting Carlos Hyde at the beginning of round four, if you go receiver, receiver, it's a great guy to target.
I do say the one thing that I've thought about lately, because I've seen some argument on Twitter about Todd Gurley and whether or not he should be a top five pick because his team's so bad and because the schedule's tough. And I think if you're okay with taking Todd Gurley in the top five picks, you should be fine with taking Carlos Hyde at the start of the fourth, because it's a situation where you're counting on the talent to overcome. And maybe Carlos Hyde isn't quite as good as Todd Gurley, but I still think he's an elite talent at running back. If you think Todd Gurley is going to overcome that bad situation in St. Louis, there's no reason Carlos Hyde shouldn't do.
They essentially added two offensive linemen this offseason with the draft. I forget his name.
Garnett.
Yeah. And then getting Anthony Davis back. You know, right now he's not working with the starters, but clearly he's going to work with the starters by the time the middle of the season is here, because he's probably their most talented offensive lineman, or one of their most talented offensive linemen. So with what Chip has been able to do, I'll buy in.
It's a little harder for me to buy in on Carlos Hyde, just because if Chip's doing what he's been doing all this time, the book's out on how to stop that. I don't know if I can count on Hyde for 16 games. I don't like his backup as somebody who's going to be a high point guy for my fantasy team. I think Drawn can be okay. He's better in PPR, but I actually think Hyde's situation is worse than Gurley's. I think his defense that he plays with is worse. I think his schedule is worse.
That's why one guy's in the first round, one guy's in the fourth round.
That's true. That's a fair point. I've drafted Hyde in the fourth round a couple of times this year. I'm not excited about it, but it's better than pretty much every name I've got behind him in my rank list, including Matt Jones, Forte. Even I love Danny Woodhead. In a non-PPR, I'll take Hyde over Woodhead.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you say those names right after Carlos Hyde, it's pretty evident he's the end of the good running backs.
But there's a guy who's going 10 picks later than Carlos Hyde. I don't know that there's much difference there, and it's Jeremy Hill. I'd rather have Jeremy Hill.
I would too.
Really?
Even though he's splitting carries in Cincinnati, I think his opportunity to stay on the field longer and certainly score more touchdowns is there for the taking. I think Hill is like a 9 touchdown guy this year. I don't think he's getting 12, but I think his yardage is nowhere to go but up. I think he'll be okay.
I mean, Hill's got the much better situation, but I do think he's going to get a smaller percentage of the carries, and I don't think he's as good as Carlos Hyde.
I don't know if I'd argue with you on whether or not he's better or not.
I would argue. I mean, look, I think they're both very good. I don't know what the heck happened to Jeremy Hill last year. I'm hoping it had something to do with injury. I'm not disputing that Hyde is a very talented player, but I think we saw it from Jeremy Hill in his rookie season. You cannot do what he did for as long as he did and not be a good player. And there are a few guys who are like that. You know, I think Devontae Freeman's another guy. How could you be as good as Devontae Freeman was for that 5 or 6 game stretch and not be a good player? It seems crazy to me. And these are some polarizing guys. Eddie Lacy, another guy. I think we can kind of blame that on the weight. But some totally tough calls. C.J. Anderson, tough calls at running back this year that are going in rounds 2 through 5 or so. I know, Heath, you don't like Jeremy Hill all that much. We haven't talked about Latavius Murray, though. Is he a breakout for anybody?
That's my breakout. Okay. I think he has his best year ever. He's also in a contract year. Love his situation in Oakland. That's a defense that's on the rise. That's an offensive line that's great. That's a passing game that's strong. Latavius can catch passes out of the backfield. And I know they drafted DeAndre Washington, and I'm a DeAndre Washington fan, but I'm really believing that Latavius Murray will have a little more leash than anybody thinks, and the opportunity is there for him to get, I'll say it, 10 or more touchdowns this year in that offense.
Yeah, I think other than the fact that it's not cool that I wanted to say Latavius Murray is my breakout, and I'm the guy that has him ranked in the top 10 running backs.
It's true.
It's okay. I will go with Giovanni Bernard. and I think the opportunity for him is kind of the same as it is for Murray, except that Murray's going to get a ton more in terms of carries. But Bernard had a really bad touchdown last year. I don't think that continues again this year. I think there's a chance he gets he's not going to get workload carries, but if he just gets a 10% increase in carries and continues to be that much better than Jeremy Hill, catches 60 passes and scores 7 or 8 touchdowns, he's going to be a borderline top 12 back.
But I'm looking for a breakout here. And Gio's had a couple of years where he's totaled well over 1,000 yards with 7 touchdowns.
What's that, Latavius?
What's Latavius' high? It was like 1,206 last year.
Last year he scored 6 touchdowns. Yeah, 1,200 seems right, but he was a top 10 running back.
Right. But I think he can beat that. I'm wondering if Gio can get to that next level. Jeremy Hill would have to, you know, dissipate into the stratosphere in order for that to happen.
I don't know. I mean, he was
two or 3 years. He's had over 1,200 total yards in 2 or 3 years. Right. I'm sorry. And
this is Gio?
Gio.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years he's had over 1,200 total yards. The 1 year he didn't was when he got hurt and missed 3 games. And then 2 or 3 years he scored at least 7 touchdowns. The last year being the outlier of it. So if he gets closer to, all he has to do is score 5 touchdowns and Steve still be around 1,200 total yards, he's going to far outperform his average definition.
Well, you guys consider DeAndre Washington to be Latavius Murray's handcuff?
Yes.
Yeah, when it's all said and done. I mean, they're still listing Tywan Jones second. But
my little brother Jalen Richard is having a nice camp for them, but he's not he's not competing.
Marcel Reese is still there, right?
Yeah, but he's suspended to start the year. He'll have one great game. He'll steal 2 touchdowns 1 week.
That's Heath's favorite play.
I'm going to call it right now. It's going to be week 12 against Carolina. That's Marcel Reese's game.
8 catches, 56 yards.
No, it's going to be like 3 catches for 9 yards.
He's always not going to play tight end that game.
I don't know what he'll play, but they'll figure out a way to use him.
Jamie, get your week 13 waiver wire column ready. Put Marcel Reese at the top. But what I was going to say about Washington is that unlike, you know, the Denver situation, unlike the Minnesota situation, if you take Latavius Murray, you can wait longer to draft DeAndre Washington. He'll go a little bit later in drafts. Not as much urgency. Did we do breakouts for everybody? I think we did. Okay. Let's do some ADP review. Tough position, man. Tough position. The number one running back is Todd Gurley, going, you know, 3rd overall behind a couple of wide receivers. Adrian Peterson, 5th overall. David Johnson, 6th overall, and Ezekiel Elliott, 7th overall. We'll get to Le'Veon Bell in a second. What do you think about that top 4 in the top 7 picks? Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott.
If you like running backs, that's where these guys are going to go.
What do you think about it?
Oh, I think it's too soon.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and call Heath a homer, but I don't know that I want to take I'm not taking David Johnson over Jamaal Charles.
Really?
All right. If we get 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the preseason and Jamaal Charles is doing nothing, then maybe you start getting concerned that he's not going to be 100% for the start of camp. I think they're just being really cautious with him right now. And David Johnson's hoping he can become Jamaal Charles. I mean, he looked pretty much like him last year. Did a pretty good impression in a few games last year, but I don't want to be down on David Johnson. I think he's a tremendous talent. I think the Cardinals love him. I think the Chris Johnson stuff's kind of nonsense. But he was behind Chris Johnson until Chris Johnson got hurt.
He was really
reliant on having 1 or 2 big plays for fantasy production. If you look at what he actually did in terms of yardage, in terms of touches last year, even late in the season, it wasn't top 2, top 3 running back impressive. He scored several long touchdowns when he wasn't really getting the ball more than 5 or 6
times
a game.
That's early in the year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that outlier stuff has to be thrown out.
Yeah, look, I think you bring up a good point about Jamaal Charles, but Johnson, last 5 weeks of the season, these were his touches. 24, 24, 33, 12, and then 14. But those last two games, the 12 and 14 touches, were a blowout win and a blowout loss. And in both of those games, Johnson got hardly any work in the second half. So I think it's obvious that they were getting him more involved. Now, some stats I wanted to give out about Jamaal Charles. He averaged in standard scoring leagues an outrageous 17 fantasy points per game in his four healthy games. If he had done that for the entire season, which he probably wouldn't have, he would have been by far the number one running back. And also, if you look at Charles's carries and you say, why isn't he carrying the ball? 16 in week one, 21 in week two, but only 11 in weeks three and four. Alex Smith threw 40 and 45 passes in those games. That's the most he threw all season. Kansas City fell behind in both of those games on the road. So that's why the carries weren't there for Charles. And he still had good games because he's so involved in the passing game. So I see where you're coming from, Heath, on Jamaal Charles. Dave and Jamie, you guys have some concerns about Charles. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, it's obvious what the concern is. It's his health. It's the fact that he's, what is he, 29 now?
29.
Yep. And Spencer Ware did a nice job last year. Sharkhandrick West did a nice job last year when Charles was out. Niall Davis has had a good camp. The Chiefs have options. And Andy Reid's style is typically to lean on one running back, but if he can get talked into it or recognize that Ware or West can take away some work from Charles just to keep Charles healthy, he'll probably consider it. I think Jamaal Charles still has potential to be great. I don't mind him as a first round pick because I know I can get a very good receiver in round two, whereas I'm not sure if I can get Charles into round two. This is assuming I have like pick 10 or 11, and I know that there's just a couple of picks waiting for me between round one and two. So I don't mind settling on Charles, but there's more risk with him than there is with any other running back that we've talked about in ADP so far. Now, I think there's no comparison between him and Adrian Peterson. To me, Charles has way more risk than AP.
I kind of view him the same, to be honest.
Just I was going to say, because I think Charles is coming off the injury, so that's a risk, but Peterson's got a lot more carries and he's 2 years older.
Yeah, that's kind of why I feel the same. I think it's just, you know, Charles with the injury concern and his age and the fact that they've kind of cultivated other options makes me just a little bit gun shy on him. But I'm fine with him early round two. I won't take him in round one.
Well, I just think it's so fascinating that if we go back to those top four running backs, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott, you have one who's 31 years old that we've just talked about the risks with Peterson. The other three have a combined 2 years of experience. And we've been burned by Trent Richardson, and we've been burned by, you know, who's
Jeremy
some
Hill.
Year two running backs? Jeremy Hill, right? Like, guys who just...
CJ Anderson was essentially a year two running back.
Right? Yeah, guys who have been bad in year two.
Doug Martin.
Exactly.
We could go on and on.
That's why I'm not going to have any of these guys on my team unless they fall to me at like 7 or 8. I think I'm going wide receiver or Gronkowski if I have a top six pick. Maybe I'm passing up an amazing running back, but this is the year where you take wide receiver or Gronkowski wide receiver, and then you take CJ Anderson and...
Four running backs in a row. That's what you do.
Sure. And Jeremy Hill could be one of those, and Anderson could be one of those, and maybe you're lucky Thomas Rawls is one of those.
I think Woodhead
what you do.
Or Gordon or both or Foster or Jai or, you know, if you like the Jaguars running backs. I mean, it's not great guys, obviously. That's why they're falling to spots. But you can just mix and match those guys, and you know you... And I would say that's why you take three receivers in your first four or five picks, because now you lock up your flex spot with three of those guys. I mean, we can't say enough about Michael Floyd and John Brown and Devontae Parker, and, you know, you still have the merits of Doug Baldwin and what those guys do. Eric Decker. I mean, those guys are much safer flex options than trying to gamble on those running backs.
I look at it differently. I think those running backs have the potential to be immense difference makers and point totalers for your team. How many guys in fantasy football in a standard scoring league can you look at and say, all right, there's a chance at 20 fantasy points from them? There's a bunch of quarterbacks that we can do that with, but there's not a lot at every other position. You could make the argument that Brown and Odell and Julio Jones can get you there. Gronk can get you there. I think some of these running backs can get you there too. I don't think there's that many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but you know what though? I'd rather have the consistent 15 than the 20 and 4, 21, 4 next.
To me, I don't think those running backs are 21 1 week and 4 the next. I think it's just a matter of whether or not they get banged up. Receivers have bad weeks too. It's not like any of these.
For sure.
Outside of Brown and pretty much Odell Beckham, there's definitely some guys that have off weeks.
If I could jump in, I totally see what you're saying. Gurley is an amazing player, it seems. David Johnson's got great talent. Ezekiel Elliott walks into a terrific situation, but it just seems like what we've learned over the past several years in fantasy football is it doesn't make any sense with running backs. You lay out all these great reasons why they're going to be great, and they are the hardest to predict, and they seem to be more likely to get injured. So that is why, while I totally recognize the talent and the potential of those top four guys, it scares me a little bit.
Well, I think the fun thing about it is, like, and Adam, you're harping on this, and I think it's right, is that you're seeing guys fall based on what happened last year. So whether it's Lacy in round two, or Anderson in round three, or Hyde in round four, or, you know, Rawls in round three, whatever the case may be, is those guys that are falling. And I throw out any other names you think of guys that may be in this category. They've been top 10-ish guys before, maybe not Hyde and Rawls, but Anderson and Hill have been top 10 guys before. And then there are guys that are in good situations, like, I don't know if Frank Gore qualifies, but he's in a good situation. But you know what I'm saying? Like, right. guys that just have the chance to not necessarily, they're not going to be girly if they play 16 games.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, sure. But guys that are just in good situations, that if you take a bunch of them,
yeah,
that's the type of situation I think that you're better off. Because, yes, of course, Elliott's situation is great, and Charles has been fantastic, and Pierce has been fantastic, and Gurley could be fantastic. But there are more red flags with those guys than there are the receivers. And that's why I think if you just kind of lump four or five guys together, whether it's Latavius Murray as your number one guy, who you think could be great, or Doug Martin as your number one guy, who you think could be great, or in your case, Adam, CJ Anderson, and you start mixing and matching guys. Like, Dave, you'd be fine with Danny Woodhead as your number two guy, standard or PPR, right?
Yes.
So you don't have to
more
draft.
More so PPR than right, standard, obviously, but he's up there.
You don't have to draft the guy in the first five rounds. And so if you come away with three receivers and one running back, and I'm not saying not to take Gurley in the first round if that's the way you want to go, but or anybody wants to go, you just kind of not necessarily go all in on the position. Like, you don't have to take two guys with your first three or four picks. You just get one that you like, yeah, and then just start throwing names against the wall, and you're going to be pretty happy with
it. But I'm throwing names against the wall no matter what strategy I choose with my early round picks. I'm the type of guy that wants to get as many of those lottery tickets that we talk about. But I'm also not comfortable having to rely on all my lottery tickets to make up two of my starting
spots. But it's
not
all your lottery. It's guys like Murray who you like and Martin who you like. You're still getting those guys in round three.
I guess I'm talking more to people who believe in zero RB strategy and won't take a running back with their first three or four picks. But I like taking one running back early. It doesn't have to be round one. I'll end up with someone round one because I'm kind of dissing last year. I know that last year sucked for a lot of people, but that was then. This is now. These backs are younger and better as far as Gurley and Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott goes. We haven't talked about Lamar Miller. I think he's got a hell of an opportunity this year. I like him as a first round pick.
Yeah.
And then Adrian Peterson to me is just the ultimate outlier.
Yeah. Now Miller, we could definitely call a breakout candidate. He finished as a top five or six running back last year, but he has not had his breakout season. The guy's always been really good on a per carry basis. His lowest yards per carry was 4, and that was with a bad offensive line in his sophomore year. Other than that, 4.9, 5.1, 4.5. Miller's only missed 3 games. They were all in his rookie year in 4 seasons. And never had more than 216 carries in a season. This is the team that's going to give him a lot of work. The Texans had they were first in rush attempts last year and 5th in Bill O'Brien's first season. So, yeah, Lamar Miller, Heath, you haven't spoken in a while. First round pick on Lamar Miller, good or bad or indifferent?
I think he's right there for me, and I know I'm the high guy on Doug Martin. He's right there with Doug Martin for me at the 1-2 turn. I put him in the same category as Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson. I think those four guys are all kind of in the same tier for me. I do think Lamar Miller has a chance to be a top 2 or 3 running back this season. I don't really even know if there's any reason to be concerned over the fact that nobody in Miami, no matter who it was, would give Lamar Miller the type of workload that we wanted to see him get. Houston's going to give it to him, and we don't have any reason to think that he won't be able to stand up to it. I guess the only concern I could have is that Brock Osweiler's terrible and they have a bad offense and they don't score very many running touchdowns.
That's sort of true. I don't know if they're not going to score a lot of rushing touchdowns. I agree about Brock Osweiler being bad, but defenses can't gang up on that line of scrimmage if they're going to put DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Strong, and Will Fuller on the field. That's a lot of speed and size that you've got to account for.
Yeah.
And Lamar Miller can also catch passes out of the backfield. What's that?
I only think one of those guys is good, though.
Just Hopkins is good?
Yeah. I mean, if Fuller or Strong is good,
if one of those two end up being good, it's huge.
But then
Osweiler's
good, so then the whole team's good.
Right. The whole offense is good.
Sure. And Miller can catch. I think that's something worth
which is huge.
Versatile player. I know we've spent a lot of time on this and we'll probably just get through one or two rounds of ADP on this show, but that's okay. That's what tomorrow is for. Those three, and I just want to come back to it because they can make or break your season. The three young guys, Gurley, Johnson, Elliott, who feels like the riskiest one to you?
Elliott for me. But it's nothing. It just has to do with the fact that he's a rookie who's never done it before in the NFL. I love the landing spot. The offensive line's great. The passing game's great. The opportunity is going to be there for him. I still like him as a first round pick. He's the riskiest of the three for me.
I think Johnson is in standard and PPR. I would go with Elliott too.
Elliott's the riskiest, but he's also maybe the highest reward. He could easily be the best running back in football next year, this year.
That's the nice thing about just about every running back we've talked about in the past 10 or 15 minutes is that they all have potential to finish RB1, not much less the top five. They all have that potential, and I think that's what draws me toward them.
By the way, Ezekiel Elliott, if you're wondering, can he catch? He had 28 catches in his sophomore season, 27 in his junior season, and that was last year. And last year, those 27 catches were the third most on the team. This was not a team that threw all that much. So he's shown some ability, not a very good yards per catch, though. I just can't even foresee a scenario where he's not good. It's amazing. Maybe I'm crazy because people have been all over the place on their opinions on Ezekiel Elliott. How can you trust a rookie as a round one pick? I can't see him being bad. I mean, even Joseph Randall.
It's just health.
Yeah,
health
that's what it comes down to.
If he plays 16 games, he's going to be a monster.
What if the defense sucks?
Defense sucks.
He's still
going to
play. And they're not going to take him off the field for Alfred
Tony
Morris.
Romo gets hurt again.
You got 1,000 yards out of Darren McFadden in about 11 games.
Yeah.
That was without Des Bryant for half of that.
Darren McFadden had 4.7 yards per carry.
Risk is offensive line health.
He had more than that. I'm sorry.
Sure, sure. If the offensive line gets all banged up, too.
Right.
But they're deep even on the O-line.
You know what happens? Here's what happens if Tony Romo gets hurt. He becomes Todd Gurley.
Yeah. There's nothing at all wrong with just assuming that this guy that we know is a physical freak and had all kinds of success in college is one of the top three running backs talent-wise in the NFL, too, already. Without ever seeing it.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
I'm not drafting him for him as much as I'm drafting him for the offensive line.
Yes. Right.
And
it's
the same reason why Latavius Murray gets a bump, even though he wasn't great last year. He had some good moments.
Right.
But Latavius Murray gets a bump. He's not a great talent. His offensive line makes him a great talent. Ezekiel Elliott could be a great talent. And now you put him behind that offensive line, and you know what you get? You get DeMarco Murray if he's plays 16 games at the level that he's potentially capable of playing. Now, I don't expect that because if it was, I'd have him first. But I do think if you're going to gamble on running backs in the first round, you gamble on Gurley, you gamble on Elliott, you gamble on David Johnson, and in my opinion, you gamble on Miller. And I can understand people taking Adrian Peterson, but I'm not going to make that gamble.
Okay. I was wrong about McFadden. It was 4.6 yards per carry, but the point I wanted to make, the three previous seasons, McFadden averaged 3.3, 3.3, and 3.4 yards per carry. And then he was up to 4.6 last year. And that's amazing. And Joseph Randall, who does not have his head on straight, obviously, 4.1 yards per carry. So pretty optimistic for Elliott. Let's end the show on this. When do you take Le'Veon Bell, guys? And how many games, as of right now, August 10th, do you expect Le'Veon Bell to be suspended?
I take him at the 2-3 turn, and I would set the over-under at 3.
Middle of round 2 in the standard league, beginning of round 2 in PPR, and I would say it's going to be 3.
For round 3 in standard, late round 2 in PPR, and it's going to be 4 games.
I think it's, is it RotoViz, Heath, you may know this, that they talk about the replacement value for players?
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be so interesting how they set it up. And maybe you explain it a little bit better because I don't want to butcher it. But just what you're replacing him with, and if he gives you that, and if it's D'Angelo, you're not missing a beat by where you're drafting the second guy or who you're slotting in for that spot.
Right.
And it's a fascinating, you know, discussion about how you draft these guys that are going to miss time. Same thing with Brady. You know, if you're expecting Derek Carr or Winston or Stafford, you know, whoever your backup is, and just knowing that that's still going to give you that same number or close to that number of what Bell should give you in the 4 games that he's not there, and then what Bell can do for you, it made me less shy to stay away from him, which I wasn't really shy to stay away from him in the beginning at all.
Well, yeah, you can just look at it this way. If you're going to take Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams, what would you trade for the number one overall pick? In PPR, at least.
Because if he's playing 16 games, he's the number one overall pick, and Williams plus Bell is probably worth the number one overall pick.
I mean, they were four last year, you know,
right,
with D'Angelo
right.
playing 11 of those games, and Le'Veon's clearly better than Le'Veon. Than
are D'Angelo. You okay with trading a second round pick and a fifth round pick for a first number one overall?
Absolutely.
I think you are.
Yep. All right, but I have to jump in because I've noticed that I haven't taken Le'Veon Bell, I don't think, maybe in one league. But I've noticed that I never want to take D'Angelo Williams because I know he's not really that valuable to me. As the non-Le'Veon owner. So I feel like he's going to kind of fall and the Bell owner doesn't have to take him in round five.
I think you're wrong on that because there's plenty of people that are going to wait on running backs and they look at D'Angelo Williams as a sure thing for the first four games of the season to get their, you know, they'll figure out their running backs as the year goes along.
Right.
But at least one guy that they can get in round six or round seven is somebody that they can lock into their lineups as a running back one. For their fantasy team.
I also, and that's fair, Dave, I also am not convinced. In fact, I would say I doubt D'Angelo Williams will be as good as he was last year. He's 33 years old.
Sure.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the workload of a 33-year-old.
He's got to get through four games, and then he's going back to the bench like he was last year.
That's what the Steelers are hoping for.
Absolutely.
But I still think he'll get a little bit of work even when Le'Veon comes
he
back.
He got a little bit of work last year.
Right. I'm not starting him when Le'Veon comes back. He's my insurance policy.
And look, I mean, to take the other side of Le'Veon, which you have to, is he's had two knee injuries each of the last 2 years. Now, granted, all the reports are he looks great. Knee should be fine.
He says it's strong.
And that offensive line is among the best in football. That offense is among the best in football. And you can't overlook what he did 2 years ago when he had 83 catches and was averaging over four catches a game last year before he got hurt. So he's has a chance to easily be the best running back, even missing the four games, because if the other guys don't get through 16 games, remember, Gurley had his injury concerns last year. David Johnson, Elliott, they're young guys that you don't know how they will materialize playing 16 games, getting that whole full workload, and we have started with Elliott. And then if Adrian Peterson suffers a little bit, who knows? He could easily be still the best guy missing those first four games.
That was a great show, guys. Good start to the running backs. We're going to pick it up tomorrow with some round two ADP. We'll talk more, probably a little bit more about Lamar Miller, Doug Martin, Devontae Freeman, I think one of the most fascinating running backs, number one running back last year in both standard and PPR. People have a lot of questions, understandably, and we will get through really the rest of the position. So if you have any running back questions, please email them to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Heath Cummings, see you later.
Later.
Dave Richard, see you later.
Adios.
Jamie Eisenberg. I'm sorry that your wife is like me. That's a tough blow for you, buddy. I'm sorry about that. Could be worse. Okay.
Bye.
No response. That's it for today's show. Talk to you tomorrow.